Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. This is Jimmy Clark with Today in Ag, brought to you today and every day by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah America. Happy Monday, everybody. I hope you had a wonderful 4th of July. Lots of fireworks, lots of people at the lake this weekend, lots going on, so I hope you had a great one. Let's check out some temperatures real quick. I got a special guest coming on here shortly after the weather. And because you know what the day is? Today's Jimmy's Wildlife Wisdom Hour. It sounds professional, doesn't it, Cooper? Cooper's joining me again, our intern. He's back this week. You doing good?
Yes, I'm doing amazing.
Hey, do you want to wish somebody a happy birthday today?
Yes, I do. It's my dad's birthday, Justin Twyman. Happy birthday. He's nice and 25.
Whatever.
Nice and 25.
JT. Happy birthday, JT. All right, let's check out some temperatures. It's hot today and no wind. 86 degrees at Hollis, 87 degrees at Weatherford, 84 at Arnett, 87 at the May Ranch up there along the Kansas State line, way out in the panhandle of Oklahoma, 89 at Boise City. And then here west of us in the Texas Panhandle, we got 85 at Lipscomb, 85 at Wellington, and down there south of the Red River Bridge, 86 at Odell. Well, today is Jimmy's Wildlife Wisdom Hour, and I got Lieutenant Colonel, I hope I say this right, I hope I don't mess this up. You can yell at me if I mess it up there, Wade. Lieutenant Colonel Wade Farrar, is that how I say it?
That was perfect.
Oh, dude, finally, I got it right. Welcome to the show today, sir, and happy Monday.
Great to be here.
Yeah, I know you're traveling, and so there'll be a little background noise, everybody, but he's on the road coming back from Texas, I believe. But tell everybody who Lieutenant Colonel Wade Farrar is. We need to know who we're talking to.
Well, my current role with the Department of Wildlife is I'm the Assistant Chief Game Warden for the state of Oklahoma.
Okay. And how did you become a game warden?
Well, how much time do we have? Quite a bit.
Hey, you're supposed to be on here all hour. So.
Well, I grew up in Crescent, Oklahoma, hunted and fished my whole life. Left Crescent to go to college. Had intentions of being a mechanical engineer. I figured out my last semester of my sophomore year up there that being colorblind and being a mechanical engineer was not going to work out well. So
probably not.
At that point in my life, I thought money was important, so I wanted to go to medical school, so I joined the Air Force Reserve as a medic to get some background there, and I swapped my major over to biology and with emphasis in pre-med. I'm glad I joined the Air Force because I figured out over the next couple of years that I absolutely hated hospitals, sick people, anything to do with that career field. So I graduated with that degree and I went to work as an insurance adjuster for about almost a year. And during that time I had an airman that I supervised there at Tinker. His dad was a longtime Northeastern District 2 game warden captain, Joe Adair. And we were at lunch one day and he said, "Man, you hate your job currently. Like, there's a job opening there to be a game warden in Oklahoma County," which is where I was living at the time. And he said, you need to try to get that job. So at that time, I figured you got to either murder somebody or wait till they died to get a game warden position. And his dad called me a few days later, and we had a conversation for about an hour over the phone. And he said, "You go take that test, and I'll make sure they interview you." And on March 3rd of 2003, they hired me to be a game warden there in Oklahoma County. I spent about 4 years in Oklahoma County, and then I got to transfer back home to Logan. At the 11-year mark, I was promoted to lieutenant, and I was a lieutenant on the north end of the 5th District for about 3 years. Then I promoted to captain. Unfortunately, I only got to be the captain of the 5th District for 2 years, and I got to travel from Logan and Payne County all the way down to the Red River, just living the greatest life a game warden could live. And And I took the promotion at the office in October of 2019, and I've been there ever since.
Oh, well, congratulations on that. You sound like you, the way you was getting promoted there, sound like you take your job serious. And what's the hardest part about being a game warden?
The hardest part about being a game warden is the time away from family and home. You know, when everybody else is off work, is when a game warden needs to be working. So overcoming those obstacles with your family and friends is probably the toughest part about it. And that's probably why, you know, game wardens hang so close with other first responders like firefighters and police officers, highway patrolmen, things. They have those same issues.
Yeah, and as a game warden, you're not only just a game warden, you're also a law enforcement officer, just like a sheriff, a policeman, or a highway patrolman. You know, you enforce the laws outside the wildlife, correct?
Correct.
What's the funniest? I'm not getting personal here, but what's the funniest thing you've seen as a game warden?
Most of the funniest things I've seen as a game warden, we can't talk about on public airwaves.
I tried, okay?
our unofficial motto is we're law enforcement where the pavement ends. If you really think about it, game wardens are the only law enforcement officers that actually go to those areas on purpose. You know, everybody else is there because they're called there. So we catch people doing all kinds of things that they would normally not do if they thought a law enforcement officer was fixing to show up. So just you let your imagination run wild, and if you can dream it, we've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen some of the things. You know, I'm 64 years old, and I've seen the things. And one of my good friends that I was in the Oklahoma Army National Guard with got caught shooting the dummy. and 20 years later, I still let him hear about it. How could you not tell the difference? Oh, man, it was big at the time. I said, I'm sure that's called buck fever. So it's good stuff. And I just want to tell you that, you know, I know most of the game wardens out here in Western Oklahoma, and in a good way. And we appreciate what you guys do because, you know, what? Probably 90-95% of the time you work alone.
Yeah. Well, we try to send some of our best people to Western Oklahoma, believe it or not. I've got a lady in the back seat that grew up there in Elk City.
Oh, yeah?
I hate to say this in front of her, but those folks in Western Oklahoma are good people.
Yeah, they are. No, they're really good people. People from Oklahoma are good people, but Western Oklahoma out here and then the Eastern Texas Panhandle, it's a different breed of people also. And we don't have all the big lakes we do, you do in Eastern Oklahoma. We got a few out here, but it's just, I think once you get to about Weatherford and head east, it's a different world. So that's what I always say anyway, and I don't mean to offend anybody by that, but it's true. Lots more rain and all kinds of stuff east of Weatherford, so about Weatherford east, but they got it going on. If you got a minute, I need to take a break. It's about a 3.5-minute break, and when we come back, let's talk about the new regulations that are taking effect this year, if you got time.
We'll do it.
Okay, I'm going to take a break real quick. Today is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association happy hour, so let's take an OCA break and be right back.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at hobartfarmandgarden.com.
You put your equipment through the ringer, and you do it in extreme weather out here. Parts that don't last aren't worth a dime. Gates hydraulic hoses are designed for high pressure use. They keep going when the others fall apart. They're also flexible, so they're easy to handle and they're easy to install in tight spaces. Did you know that Napa Auto Parts does customized hydraulic hoses, all Gates hydraulics? Well, guess what? Now you know. Gates hydraulic hoses at Napa and Elk City, Weatherford, and Hinton, because you need parts that withstand the pressure.
Hey folks, this is EJ Gredeman with ASCO Equipment out of Elk City, Oklahoma. If you need rental equipment, I got your back. From excavators to wheel loaders, telehandlers, and forklifts, we rent the brands that you know and trust. With flexible terms, responsible service, and expert support, we're here to keep your job on track. Need equipment? We're on it here at ASCO Equipment. Visit ASCOEQ.com or stop by our Elk City branch, 513 West 20th here in Elk City, Oklahoma, or you can just give me a call, 580-243-9233. Appreciate it, folks, and y'all have a blessed day.
Need fast, reliable pumping services? Call the pros at 3B Pumping Services in Elk City. They specialize in dependable pumping for all kinds of industries, keeping your operation running smoothly and on time. With years of experience and a commitment to getting the job done right, you can count on 3B to deliver. Visit them at 3200 West 20th Street in Elk City or call 580-225-4114. That's 3B Pumping Services. Efficiency you can trust, service you can rely on.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weight, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op Gym at 720 South Main in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. That's Farmers Union Co-op Gym, 720 South Main in Elk City, 580-225-0191.
Hay wrap is what people use in their balers, the farmers, when they want to, you know, baling up hay, it wraps it up, is better than twine. So it's like one consistency, holds everything together, lasts longer, easier to cut off. Well, we started selling it because we got asked for it, because nowhere around here to really buy it, the good kind of net wrap that we have. So we found a vendor that's good price, and now we carry it. We've got it. Camrock is right south of Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City, Oklahoma.
The lessons that taught me the most didn't come in my college classes. I've learned a lot about business by working at the bank, and I've learned a lot about banking by owning businesses. When both are done right, they sure can help each other. Helping new businesses get off the ground and start growing is just about my favorite thing to do. I love it. I'm Kyle Killoffer at Great Plains Bank in Elk City, member FDIC. When you're ready to talk business, come visit with me. I may be able to help.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Here's a quick update on the weather out in the Eastern Texas Panhandle, brought to you by the Lipscomb car dealerships here in Elk City and Sayre. Odell, 86 degrees, humidity's 51, dew point 66, the winds are out of the south at 11. Really no rain to talk about so far in the month of July at Odell. 8-inch soil temperature, 85 degrees. Well, on the phone with me right now is Lieutenant Colonel Wade Farrar from the Department of Wildlife. He's the game warden. He's the assistant chief. Is that, what was your title there? I got too many friends there. You're the assistant chief of law enforcement for the Wildlife Department. I knew I'd get the official title. Thanks again for spending time with me today. Man, there's some new regulations is going to kick in this year. Can you talk about some of them?
We sure can. I apologize. Like I said, we had an unexpected trip here to go rescue some neighbors, so I don't have the paperwork sitting in front of me. It's sitting on my desk in Oklahoma City, but we can definitely hit the ones that are the, probably going to raise the most eyebrows. Probably first and foremost, an emergency rule that the commission passed on June 22nd will affect non-residents when it comes to their deer licenses. If they don't buy them before the season starts, there will be a two-day waiting period. So they buy one today on Monday, even if it's at 11:59 p.m., you won't be able to hunt on that thing until shooting light on Wednesday morning. So a little background on why that is. We've had one of our game wardens do some work on his leadership development program project with the time frame with non-resident hunters and when they were checking their deer in. And right about the 30% mark. I don't have that number set in front of me, like I said, but right about the 30% mark of all non-resident deer licenses were being bought within an hour of when the deer was harvested. And of those 30%, about, I think 10 or 11% of those were being bought within 5 minutes of when the deer was harvested. So that's obviously throwing some flags up there. And if you look at the data totals from the 2024-2025 season, which is the last one we had the full big game report on, there was around 9,800 non-resident deer licenses sold. And of those 9,800 deer licenses, they checked in over 13,000 deer, which is about 130% success rate. And if you look at the 10 to 20 year average that they put in the big game harvest report as far as just deer hunter success, that printed percentage is about 42%. So unless non-residents are hunting on a lot better properties than we are, and they're a lot better deer hunters than residents are, there's definitely some foul play going on there. So the commission wanted to make sure that we put something there in place to have a time frame there where that license would not be good, and 2 days is where they settle.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what those numbers look like after this upcoming hunting season, huh?
It will be, for sure.
Yeah, I could see that. And is there any numbers on possible foul play with the residents? Are those numbers tracked?
We have the same sort of thing going on with residents, but it's not near as extreme. But it's a little harder to track numbers with residents because we have so many of our deer hunters, our lifetime license holders.
Correct.
It's pretty hard to track if those people are actually still hunting, or, it's easy to track if they harvested the deer, and checked it in. But as far as success rate with lifetime hunters, it's a little bit harder to do. The commission right now does not want to do anything as far as changing put anything in place for residents like they have for non-residents.
Right. Yep, that makes sense. So they are, go. I did notice in some of the changes, like on waterfowl hunting blinds constructed on public lands, it's going to be daily blinds only now. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's been something that's been discussed in meetings for years. I've been on the regulation committees almost since I got hired on. And that seems like something that was discussed every year, and there's been some pushback from some smaller areas, mostly in eastern Oklahoma, on that. But they finally made the decision this year to go statewide with the daily blinds only.
I got you. That makes sense. And then another thing, I got some of the changes up here in front of me. I know your paperwork's back in the office, but we'll get through this because you got some good information. It says here, anyone accessing certain areas open to public for hunting must check in and out of the area through the ODWC's online system. That was effective last fall, though, wasn't it? Because I know it kicked in up here at Pack Saddle and quail hunting.
Right, and that's for non-residents only.
Right. Yes, I need to clarify that.
That was in play last year as well.
So anything, any slack come of that or out of that, or did it all work out good? I'm sure nobody, some people were not happy about it, but it is what it is.
Right, well, there's been some pushback on it, but the biggest pushback was the current system. You have to have cell phone service to check in and out. By this fall, we're hoping to have that on the Go Outdoors app, which will check you in or out whether you have service or not. Just like when you check a deer in, it'll give you a confirmation number.
Right.
You won't post to the system until you get service, but if you get checked by one of my guys, they can show you that, and then that'll be the same as a confirmation number on a deer.
Yeah, because I was at Pack Saddle the the year before last, so that would have been 24, and that's where opening day, oh my gosh, there was I don't know how many were up there, but there was a lot of hunters up there for quail season, opening day of quail season, let me verify that, and even Lieutenant James Edwards, he come by, I call him Lieutenant James, from never mind, I won't even talk about that. But anyway, he come by, he was checking, they were checking on, he was shocked how many non-residents were quail hunting up there that day, opening day of 2024. So I can see how this would save a lot of trouble, and you guys can get some numbers and track some, you know, hunters, how many people are non-resident and how many are resident on that check-in up there.
Yeah, and I haven't seen any of those numbers from last year. I'm sure we're going to have some sort of a meeting and discuss those and look at the numbers and see how it is. But, you know, the history behind that is they really want to track how many people are using the hunting areas. We get questions from the legislators and commissioners and, you know, do we really need to buy more public lands? Is it worth owning the public lands we have? Are they getting used? Are they not getting used? Well, now we have a way to collect how many non-residents are using those areas, but not residents. So you're really not getting the full package to be able to manage the areas the way they need to be managed.
Right. Yeah, because they've been biologists or the managers out here, the WMA managers out here, and I know for a fact, I mean, it's my personal opinion, out here, like Pack Saddle, the Black Kettle, and Ellis County, and Beaver, and some of those up north, and even Sandy Sanders just hadn't had a lot of rainfall the last couple of years, but they're kind of getting it now, and hopefully the population, especially quail, get better. But them some big old WMAs for your game wardens to manage around here.
Yeah, there are. We manage about it's over 1.5 million acres of public stuff that we, you know, we take care of. But you know, that's only about 2% of Oklahoma, so there's still a huge amount of land that the guys have to patrol and take care of, because those, you know, the critters don't know the boundaries. So
no, they don't. And not only game wardens have to do with hunting regulations, but they also got to manage the fishing regulation part of it. So are there any major changes going on with the fishing regulation?
There wasn't a whole lot of changes done with fisheries. You know, I wish my game wardens knew how to do a good rain dance, and it would rain out there and fill up some lakes in western Oklahoma, Alex Luger specifically. I think it's still 20-something foot low out there.
21.
The biggest change with fisheries happened during that June 22nd commission meeting. Also, they made an emergency rule to change the crappie limits on some lakes, specifically with Eufaula and Atoka, because the guide pressure that they're seeing there, they dropped the crappie limits to 20, you know, instead of 37. But they also took the crappie limit completely away from half a dozen smaller lakes and all of the close to home lakes that the agency manages.
Right. Well, we got a lot of people that go to eastern Oklahoma, and matter of fact, I've got some friends that's got property on Eufaula. But there's, you talk about guide pressure. What has brought that, in your opinion, professional opinion, what has brought that? Why are there so many guides now everywhere?
I guess because it's successful, they're making money with it, is probably the number one reason. But it's fishing with a guide is a good time. I mean, there's especially, like, even, I mean, I hate to admit it, but even myself, you know, I don't have time to go out and scout and look for the fish like I used to. So if I want to be successful, make sure I'm going to catch fish, it's just a lot easier to hire one of those professional guys to take me out and let them do all that background work, and me and the boys just get to go rip lips.
Right. How old are your boys?
17 and 14.
Woohoo! Good times. That's a good age. That's when they figure out they're smarter than daddy. So.
Yeah, the oldest one still listens to me, but my 14-year-old, he knows more than everyone.
So what's your favorite thing to go out and do on the fishing side with the boys? I mean, bass, crappie, Texoma, stripers. You were down there probably pretty close to Texoma, so and I'm right there along with you. I mean, other lakes, I like to go out on my own and fish a little bit, but the Texoma, man, that was so fun fishing with a guy down there for stripers.
Those are probably the best times we've had as far as family fishing with my wife and everything. We go with I don't know if I can plug him or not, but Jeff Rutledge is a friend of mine, and we go fishing with him, and he's really taking good care of us.
No, you're more than welcome to plug him. Yeah, no problem. That striper aquatic, fishing's good.
Yeah, Aquatic Assault is the name of his business, but my youngest boy loves to fish. My oldest boy loves to catch fish, but my youngest one, he will fish at 100 degrees all day long, every day, and he doesn't really care if he catches a fish. I just taught him how to throw a fly rod, or how to cast a fly, I guess. You don't throw the fly rod, that's not good for him. And about a month ago, and he has been out there catching bluegill with that fly rod, and that's pretty fun to watch.
We're headed to
northwest of Fort Collins, Colorado, the first week of August to go trout fishing there on the Fugere River. So he's trying to tune his fly fishing skills up for that.
Man, that sounds like a blast. I've only been fly fishing one time, and it was in Missouri, and I don't remember the name of the river. It was trout season opened that day, and it was pretty heavy traffic in there, and I went and put the fly rod up and got the old spin cast out because I didn't want to hit anybody in the head with the whipping that line around there, but it was pretty fun. So on the game warden part, you guys as game wardens, also you've got to regulate guides too, correct?
Well, fishing guides have been licensed for a long time. That's another rule change that I was going to bring up. The legislature, for 19 years, we've been trying to get a hunting guide bill through the legislature. And this year they passed a bill, but it affects only waterfowl and crane guides. The outfitter will need to be licensed, and then their helpers will be considered guides, and then they'll be licensed also.
Right. What brought that on? Why do they need to be licensed? Just so you can regulate them or track them better? You tell us why.
Well, the last several years, it's actually been requested by the industry. The guides have been asking to be regulated because it legitimizes the good ones. The good guys have a license. People know that if they're licensed, they've got $1 million liability insurance policy. They're going to be following the rules. And then the other side of it is to protect the landowners. If they go on with this new law, if they go on property without permission, it'll revoke their license. So it's going to take away all their livelihood as far as an outfitter or a guide goes.
Right.
So we're protecting landowners that way. They have to carry written permission that can be actually written on paper and pen. Or a text message or an email or something like that would be fine also. But that way, when my guys are out there checking, they know that the landowner knows that they're supposed to be there. He's getting paid whatever he needs to be getting paid, and also that they're holding that liability insurance policy to take care of their hunters in case something happens.
Right. What is the what's probably besides fishing without a license? Probably what's probably the number one misdemeanor or law being broken on the waters today, besides fishing without a license? Is there something else
on the waters?
Yep.
No, it's probably going to be over limits.
Okay. Yep. And hunting on ground, what's probably one of the number one mishaps that people get caught with doing besides hunting without a license?
unfortunately, it's going to be hunting without permission. We still run into a lot of that. It's getting harder and harder and harder to come up with a place to hunt. You got to have, well, in most parts of the country, it's getting where if you don't have family land to hunt on or you don't have deep pockets, you can't come up with a place to hunt anymore.
Right. That's just the way it's going. I mean, it's been going that way for quite a while, and people like to just lease a hunting lease and bring friends out and not have to worry about, you know, this or that. But up in Roger Mills County, one of the ranchers and his wife, they were talking about back in 2011, you know, they used to let people fish. They had a big government pond there. And I won't say no names, but they had a big government pond there, and they let people fish there all the time. Well, the drought from 2010 and 11 kicked in, and of course the water went down lower, and she picked up over 5 gallon buckets of cans, bottles, trash, once that water went down, that people were throwing out in the water. And people wonder why you can't get permission to go hunting on somebody or fishing. And that's a lot of trash.
Yeah, it is. That's a quick way to lose permission right there.
Yeah, it's a quick deal. One of the listeners wanted to know your opinion on, or how hard is it to regulate people using thermals and stuff?
Well, it's interesting that you brought that up, because we've got two more law changes that affect that.
Okay.
Number one, it is now, well, September 1st, it will be against the law to possess a thermal device, night vision goggles, or launch a drone or land a drone on public properties that we manage or own. So that's part of that is because people cheat, and then part of that's fair chase. I don't know if you've ever spent much time with a thermal, but you know, even the middle of the day, you can look out across the, well, in you guys this area, you can see a mile. Look out of there across your spotting scope, and you may see a handful of deer. But you look out there with a thermal, and you may see 3 dozen deer. So a lot of that is to just, you know, fair chase is what it's all about. And if we can control that on public lands, we're going to do our best to do that.
Okay.
We also have a big long list of rules that affect drones and thermal drones both. Every state around us just basically said you can't fly drones at all for anything, for scouting, for animal recovery. We didn't want to do that. We see that there's drones have some uses. You know, it's going to make things better for the ethical hunter, but it also opens the door for those who aren't so ethical to cheat. So, you know, the drone, it says if you fly, like, once again, I don't have these rules in front of me, so in my mind anyway, I remembered them. If you fly an area, you can't hunt that area that day. So if you're flying, you know, an area to scout it or just fly it, period, no one can hunt there till the following day. That's pretty much the biggest effect as far as daytime hunts go. And then when it gets to recovery, when they're using an animal for getting it for animal recovery, most often it's going to be deer. The hunter or the drone pilot one has to contact the game warden and tell them that they're flying and where they're flying at. Once they launch the drone and they find the animal, they've got to report back to the game warden the deer is dead or the deer is still alive. If the deer is still alive, they've got to put the drone back on the ground and they can't go hunt it for 4 hours. No means of take can be in the field while the drone is in the air. That's daytime or nighttime both. That pretty much covers it. There's some more little rules in there for the drone pilots themselves, but hopefully we can keep things on the rails and not lose complete access to those drones. You know, the more people use them to cheat, the more likely the commission is going to slam the door on it and just follow suit with the surrounding states and say you can't use them anymore.
Right. And is it all the states surrounding Oklahoma went to that? I know Kansas has.
Yeah, every state. Texas was We actually, they were involved in several meetings with us. Red Acker, that he owns one of the larger drone recovery companies here in the state. He came to us and brought his data, how many flights. He's got 8 or 9 drones and guys flying them for him all across the state. But he brought that data back of, this is how many missions we flew, this is how many animals we found, this is how many were still alive, this is how many we found dead. Texas sat in those meetings with us, and they were actually waiting on us to draft our first set of rules, and then their legislature stepped in and said, make it illegal in your rules, or we're going to make it illegal in state law. So they had to slam the door on it there, but all the states around us don't allow it. For the meantime, we're allowing it.
Right. As long as it don't get abused, and that's a downfall of every good thing. With hunting and fishing, it always gets abused, and good things come to an end sometimes. So, yeah, because you got the drones going, and you got the live scopes on fishing, and, you know, this is my personal opinion on the live scope. Yeah, it helps to find the fish and stuff, but that live scope doesn't help that bait, that fish bite that bait. And so, but you know, there's all kinds of opinions on that. But I noticed the day that they passed all this stuff up there at the Wildlife Commission meeting that I've seen a lot of things come on social media about guides and live scopes, and they caused this and that. I just had to laugh, you know. There's a reason why the wildlife department, they do an awesome job of regulating stuff. You know, when they changed the rules on turkey, 3 years ago, 4 years ago? Is that right? When they moved the dates?
Yeah, I can't. You know, if I'm thinking it was 3 years ago, it's probably 6, the way my mind works.
Well, I'm the same way. But I think it's really helped. And it seems like it's helped, and I don't hear anybody complaining anymore about it, the last couple of years. And I live on the North Fork of the Red River there, and I had maybe 3 to 5 turkey to hang out on my side of the river. They always seemed like they was on the lower side, a lot of turkey across the river from me. But between people, the change in the dates and actually getting rid of some predators around there, I've got 25, 30 turkey hanging out there now. So I think it's great.
They're definitely on the rebound.
Yeah.
You know, that date change was done really, really two reasons. The first reason was to avoid bumping the hens off nests in that early stages of nesting. There's some data, and I can't remember what it was, but if a hen gets bumped this many times, she won't go back to that nest ever again. So that's one reason, but the other reason, and probably the biggest reason, was that all the other states around us had bumped back to that date. And so we were getting just a huge inflow of non-residents coming into Oklahoma to harvest our turkeys. And with the numbers as low as they were already, it was just a wise decision to change that.
I've never heard that reason there. And I thought I kept up with you guys, but I guess not. But that's good. That's awesome. I never thought about those because that was one of the reasons why, like with the quail, they changed those regulations for non-residents coming in here after, January 31st, because everybody else's quail seasons were closed, so everybody come to Oklahoma to go quail hunting.
Right, and that wasn't just the surrounding states. There was people coming in from all over the country for that last couple weeks of season.
Yep, and one last question for you, and I appreciate you spending time on the driving and or on the road and talking to me today. Jimmy, can you ask him why Oklahoma is so different in hunting seasons than Kansas? Does he feel like there would be older, more mature deer if Oklahoma was closer to Kansas law? And I hear that a lot.
Well, I mean, the biggest argument I hear about that is with the one buck limit, the data we have just doesn't show that very many hunters are shooting more than one buck. We're still a top 5 state, United States, as far as drawing big bucks. the biggest problem with not people that don't have big bucks to shoot is they're not letting them grow. You know, something happens biologically when you put an arrow through one spoiler room, it no longer grows bigger antlers the next year. So if you can talk your kids or your uncle or your, in my case, my dad, from shooting little bucks, they're going to get bigger than that next year. And it doesn't matter what genetics that deer is carrying, he's going to be bigger the next year.
You're correct. And I lived in Kansas for 19 years, and you know, the soil, the crops help a lot in Kansas with the maturity of their bucks. Missouri, Kansas, I lived up there, a bow hunter, both states, and we had does up there that we were shooting that were field dressing as much as bucks down here in in Oklahoma. And it's a matter of that. But yes, Oklahoma seems to be increasing in top buck states, but our limits, you know, we still have the 2-buck limit. And I don't think there's a lot of people argue with me and what you said on that they just got to let the deer get bigger. And I've shot 2 big bucks on my property, one with a rifle and one with a bow, and the next year I had bigger bucks come in. So it's just a matter of what you said, you know, just let them get bigger.
Right.
So, but that, thank you for answering that. Well, I hope you have a safe trip on in home, and maybe sometime this next spring we'll have you back on the show to talk about how the new regulations, how they went, and how things were changing.
Anytime, give me a holler.
Oh, and I wanted to tell you, since you're in the Air Force Reserve, I wanted to tell you thank you for your service.
Well, thank you.
So, have a safe trip, sir.
Happy
day. Okay, that was Lieutenant Colonel Wade Farrar. I actually got somebody's name right the first time. That wasn't like Clark or Twyman. What do you think? And then, so did you hear from your dad? Did he hear you say happy birthday?
Oh, I think he did. I let him know a while back ago.
So you think we can get him on here after the next break and you sing happy birthday to him on the radio?
Maybe. We could try that out. Maybe.
Maybe he'll turn us off or turn us up. How's that? All right. Thanks again, Lieutenant Colonel Wade Farrar from the Oklahoma Wildlife Department. He is Assistant Law Enforcement Chief. And some good information there. Sounds like he's really knowledgeable on the stuff that he's got going there. All right, and thanks for everybody that shot a message in asking some questions from Wade. So, all right, let's take OCA break, and we'll be right back.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
First-time home buyers, they don't have the knowledge. They don't have the experience of previously owning a home. So I spend a lot of time with them, walking them through the process and explaining to them the requirements and things that are needed. I want to make sure that they understand that owning a home is a lot different than renting, because you're going to have maintenance, you're going to have insurance, you're going to have taxes, and you need to be able to calculate all of that into your budget. I'm Joe Shepard, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Kent Watkins here with SE Agritech in Elk City. Are feral hogs and gophers destroying your land and crops? We have the solution. Introducing Kaput Feral Hog and Gopher Bait, engineered for maximum efficiency and safety. Protect your fields and restore your property with Kaput. And we sell out-of-state customers as well. Stop by and give us a call at SEI Agritech on South Randall in Elk City. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook for all the latest updates and information.
Valley Center pivots are the most durable and reliable you can find. But when you do need replacement parts, your operation deserves the best. Valley Genuine Parts. Knutson Irrigation has been serving growers since 1981, and their experienced service technicians stand behind every part in their fully stocked warehouse. They also service other pivot brands. So when you need fast service and reliable parts, you need Knutson Irrigation. Call them for service or visit KnutsonIrrigation.com for more info.
You don't want to let your cotton set in the field day after day waiting to be ginned. Now to better serve you, the cotton farmers in Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, Lone Star Gin has processed over 540,000 bales of cotton. They've got locations in Pampa, Texas, and now in Burns Flat, Oklahoma. Lone Star Gin has the ability to process over 2,400 bales per day. All they do is gin cotton. Go to LoneStarGin.com for more information, and you can find them on Facebook.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I missed a break with Lieutenant Colonel Wade Farrar for a reason. Get more information out of him. So now I got to take some quick breaks. How's that? Freedom, Oklahoma. Here is your Lipscomb Dealership's Ag Weather Update. 89 degrees, feels like 94. Heat risk is moderate. 69 today, dew point 69, humidity's 51, winds are out of the east southeast at 9 miles an hour, 1.02 inches of rain in the last 10 days, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil, temperature is 86 degrees, sunset 8:59, sunny and 93 today, 69 tonight, finally get back down in the 60s, and 95 and sunny today. So it's your dad's birthday today, correct?
Yes, yes.
Oh, JT, Justin Twyman. What's one good thing he's good at?
Well, we know he's good at insurance. We know he's good at golf. But one thing you might not know, at arcades, the claw machine, he's amazing at them.
Really?
So many stuffed animals he has won. It's crazy. He'll just go one after the other, one after the other.
So what's his, does he like the stuffed animals or the other?
Mostly the stuffed animals, but whatever he can get. Whenever we were younger, we had this big old, centerpiece, like ottoman that was just filled with them.
Really?
Just filled with them.
And that's at $1 a pop.
About that, yeah.
Cool. All right, let's take our last OCA break, and we'll come back, finish up the show with these Hobart Farm and Garden Southwest Oklahoma Ag Weather Update, and we will do a grain market update. We'll be right back after this.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
It's Friday at 5 o'clock and the car is loaded. You've checked and rechecked and double rechecked everything with the kids. All the clothes, check. All the toiletries, the deodorant and shampoo and toothbrushes and toothpaste, check. You loaded up on water bottles for the road. You've already got snacks and the SUV's gassed up. Reservations are set, debit cards are in your wallet, Phones are charged and the chargers are nearby. You and the family have been talking about this weekend for weeks. Weather's supposed to be great. Everything's in place. It's going to be a blast. And you'll be able to enjoy it because you'll feel okay. That's because you got the medicine you needed at the last minute. The doctor got the prescription to Colby. Colby had the meds on hand, and Colby filled the prescription. Now your meds are in your bag. Check. Don't you love it when your pharmacist has the medicine you need and you don't have to wait? Thanks, Colby.
Grandview Pharmacy and Gifts, now located at 1503 West 3rd Street in Elk City.
The forecast is out, and it's calling for real hot savings at Lipscomb in Elk City. With 0% financing for 5 years, just announced on all-new Chevrolet Silverado half-ton trucks and Equinox and Trax SUVs with no payments until after Labor Day. It's only available for the next few days at Lipscomb Chevrolet GMC in Elk City. But act now, because our 0% financing offers won't last long. Call or text us today at 580-225-9445 or come see us in Elk City and online at LipscombChevroletGMC.com.
Teddy's Glass in Elk City is celebrating our 40th anniversary, serving Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. I'm Allison Gilliland. My dad started this company in 1986 to provide glass and tinting services for commercial, home, and auto. We just want to say thanks to all of our amazing customers. We appreciate your business and loyalty more than words could ever say. And here's to the next 40 years. Teddy's Glass, 515 North Van Buren, Elk City, Oklahoma.
For all your glass needs, find us on Facebook.
My name's Teddy Gilliland, and I approve this message.
This is Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, June 19th. 1,166 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 460 brought 500. 7 at 512 brought 470. 3 at 608 brought 462.50. 4 at 623 brought 430. 3 at 685 brought 395. 9 at 813 brought 362. 6 at 830 brought 359. 12 head of heifers at 334 brought 580. 3 at 457 brought 465. 8 at 468 brought 435, 4 at 591 brought 382.50, 7 at 607 brought 397.50, 7 at 752 brought 362.50. Butcher cows were 121 to 180, butcher bulls brought 132 to 231, bred cows to 1,000 to 3925, pairs brought 2,100 to 4450, Elk City Livestock Auction 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. Consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6090.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's go to Sentinel, Oklahoma, home of the Cotton King. Well, not anymore. I forgot he moved. He's up there in the Dill City urban area. 90 degrees, feels like 89. Heat risk low, dew point 61, humidity's 38, the winds are out of south, southeast at 8, half inch of rain in the last 10 days. You guys got a windstorm in there. What was that, Saturday evening? Some damage done. I don't think anybody was hurt. Hope everything's good down there. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 87 degrees. Sunset at 8:54. Sunny at 95 today, 71 mostly clear tonight. Tomorrow, more of the same. About 96 degrees with light winds out of the east to southeast going on. I'm going to spray for grasshoppers this evening. They are tearing me up, Cooper. They're not letting my sesame go. Got the combine fixed. Got the new hydro motor put on it and a rebuilt one. And everything's good. So, it's time to go to work.
Yes, yes. The grasshoppers just need to hop away.
They're not gonna be hopping anymore when I get done with them. I did have a little excitement. What was it? Yesterday morning. Yeah. So the dogs and I get up pretty early and go move irrigation side rows. Well, I got through moving the one on the 80 north of me, and I was coming down the road, and lo and behold, I look over there, and I've seen some feral boars coming through the place, traveling, looking at, there's about 15 or 20 of them standing over there in my neighbor's field. Well, all I got's 22. So I pull out into the field and take a video. I posted that on Facebook, my worst enemies. And then the rodeo started. I'd like to show you the rest of the video, but then my wife took. I didn't know she was standing up there on the road walking, and there was some language going on because sister, my black dog, she jumps out of the Ranger wanting to kill. She's a little old for now. 5 years ago, I'd have turned her loose, but she's getting a little old, kind of like me, get a little gray hair around the chin, and I was not very good with her. She finally stopped. She minds pretty good, but she doesn't hear the word no very often, as my wife said.
Optional, very optional.
Yeah, optional. Anyway, I got her stopped. Anyway, so anyway, we had a little bit of fun with the feral hogs, but I have had 100 people call, I'll come hunting with, that's the first time I've seen him this year, and I probably won't see him again this year. So it's one of those deals. But anyway, hope you guys enjoyed Lieutenant Colonel Wade Farrar come on the show today. Cooper, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, thank you.
Happy birthday, Justin Kleiman. See you guys tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma.
You've been listening to Today in